America and all of our listeners all over the world. You are listening to another exciting episode of Let's Weekend. I am, of course, your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofo, Patrick Mifflin, and Teresa Sammons. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. So, it is January 25th.
Florida Day.
Yeah, it is Florida Day. We'll get to that. Also going to be the last show of the month. And it looks like, and of course you've been paying attention to news. Yes, that stupid government shutdown is still going on, but maybe not for much longer.
Looks to be winding down.
Yeah, we'll explain that later. But here's a spoiler. We got some other stuff involved, including we got another indictment in the Mueller case, and it's a big one this time. And, man, I know there have been people since the 70s that have been waiting for this asshole to go down. So, also, we got some stuff, entertainment stuff. We know, Netflix and Sandra Bullock are going to be doing another project. We got some Star Trek news. The Space Jam sequel is going to be a thing. And, of course, to celebrate National Florida Day, we will be showing some tip-top, just the peak of Homo sapien. All that and more on this episode of Let's Weekend. So, as always, Phil, start us off. What have you been up to this week?
As far as my entertainment consumption this week goes, it was kind of light. I did watch Bohemian Rhapsody, which was fantastic. Rami Malek did an amazing job as Freddie Mercury, even though he doesn't really look like him. Mm-hmm. But it's not so much the look that he pulled off, it's
the attitude.
The attitude, yeah. I think that's a pretty that's probably an Oscar level performance, I'd say. As far as all of the, you know, the music stuff in there, that was all top notch. There was some early stuff that I was trying to pick out whether or not that was Mark Martel, and yeah, I know what parts he did and which parts he didn't, because I know his voice well enough to know where he filled in. It was a really, really good movie, and I gotta say, if you're a Queen fan, you really should check it out. If you're not a Queen fan, you probably will be after watching it. So, great, 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 great movie. What else have I done? Oh, yeah, I've been doing more of the Raspberry Pi thing. Got it set up as a little web server so I can do some web development on, so that's fun, too.
Nice.
Yeah, it's surprisingly versatile, this little thing. You don't need a whole lot of power to do a web server, so it's, you know, if you're just going to develop a web page and stuff like that, you can have this little computer sitting there just serving it up for you. So... that's very handy. I'm going to do probably... I discovered another Linux distribution that's built for retro gaming, so I'm going to dig into that one and see if that gives me any better results than RetroPie does. So that'll probably be fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. What else have I been doing? Oh, yeah, a lot more of the Doom stuff. I'm starting to get my head around all of the scripting now. I'm starting to write some custom stuff. Expect some very interesting things in the coming months as we get further and further into this project. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and I'm getting a much better handle on what Doom Engine can and can't do. And surprisingly enough, John Carmack engineered a really, really versatile engine for the technology that he had.
Well, it had really long legs at the time.
Yeah. So, it's really amazing. And, you know, there's been a lot that's been bolted onto it. So, I've been getting into that. And that's kind of pretty much been it for me.
All right. Pat, what about you?
Not much this week. I just watched the second episode of Deadly Class last night. Mm-hmm. And my God, Sci-Fi Network are purists to the bone. After I watched episode one last week, I downloaded the first volume of the comic because I have Comixology Plus or whatever it is that their subscription service.
Right.
And the first book is free with that. And at the end of the second episode, there's a scene that I don't think anyone would have complained had it not made it to the TV show, but it was there. And yeah, it's going to be that kind of show.
Yep.
Isn't it weird that sci-fi is actually making stuff that's worth watching?
I know. I just,
when the hell did that happen?
Well, it kind of started with The Expanse, and then they canceled that for some reason. Yeah. So I guess they need some stuff to compensate for that.
Yep.
Well, they've got a good one here.
All right. Well, Teresa, what about you?
I've been freezing, which is about par for the course. Yeah, when I got up this morning, the wind chill was negative 27. But this is goddamn Chicago, so the buses still ran. the kids are expected to stand out at the bus stop unless it's about negative 35 wind chill. So I was really hoping that maybe it would have been, school would have been called, and we could have sat around and played games all day.
No such luck.
No such luck. And then like Wednesday is going to be god awful. I think the high is going to be negative 12. This is no wind chill added in. And the low is supposed to be negative 19. So Wednesday is going to fucking suck. And if there's any wind, I do completely and totally think that school will be canceled. So, and like everything should be canceled, man. You can't even, I don't know, can't even live. But I've been watching Letterkenny. I had to stop because Scott wanted to catch up. So I ended up rewatching three seasons of it, which, you know, I mean, I just watched it a few days before, but it was okay. I enjoyed watching it again. We've been getting through the Orville. That started out with kind of a really ballsy first episode. It was, you know, like heavy drama and not a lot of action or anything. And you know what? It turned out fine. So we've been going through that. God, that Clyden episode was just something. And I finally got that Queen concert DVD that I had requested through the library, like in November.
And there's about fucking time,
right? Well, there was only one copy in all of our area of Illinois. I know.
That's a big area.
Yeah, right. And I mean, it was like way the hell off, like in Blue Island or some shit like that. But I did get it, and we watched half of the Montreal concert last night, and holy crap, that was just a ton of energy. And so this weekend we'll finish that up and then watch the Live Aid concert.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be phenomenal.
Yeah, which is where Bohemian Rhapsody starts and ends.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I haven't watched Bohemian Rhapsody yet, because I wanted to watch this DVD first.
Yeah.
You know, because I've casually heard Queen growing up and throughout the years and whatnot, but, you know, not like diehard fan or anything, just they're good. I mean, my kid sat out there and watched and listened to the concert. He didn't scream about my cruddy ass music. But as far as gaming goes, I've been playing Kingdom Two Crowns like way too much. Entirely too much. So I was playing that earlier and I went into the portal to beat the greed in, I think I was in land four. And I did, but my stupid fucking mount ran out of steam and I didn't get out of the portal before the bomb went off. And I was on day 219, and when I lost my crown, apparently I was very loud because everybody came rushing in here to see what the fuck happened. So, yeah, I was really hoping that I would get that achievement where I could go back to one land after 200 days. Not so much, but that has been everything I've been doing this week. What about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, pretty much my gaming is still the same two things as been the last week, which is Starlink. Still a lot of fun. Still highly recommend it. It is incredibly enjoyable and just extremely addictive. The time will disappear while you are playing it. You'll start playing that at 12:30, and then before you know it, it'll be 3 in the morning. So, Also, other than that, is of course still playing Rocksmith. And I mentioned last time how much that Guitarcade is like an incredible teaching tool. Probably the best one on there. Okay, so there's like all of them are good for various reasons because they all help you with like various tactics, you know, like, you know, palm mutes and, you know, string, you know, fret navigation and stuff like that. But probably my favorite on there is a game called Return to Castle Cordred. It's basically Typing of the Dead, but with guitar chords.
Oh, Jesus.
okay. That sounds awesome.
And they play that up, too, because, like, even the way the game has, like, all the character models are, like, that static where, like, their mouths don't move and they don't show any emotion or anything. And it's, like, the cheesy voiceover. And it basically, yeah, it works like Typing of the Dead. Basically what happens is when in the game you have two things. One is every so often you'll come across a thing called a rune stone, which is basically just a thing that shows you a chord to play. And then you play that chord and strum around. And then, you know, you break the rune stone and the storm, you know, it crumbles and then you get a bunch of points. And then after that, you've got zombies rushing at you, you know, just like House of the Dead.
Yep.
But, you know, the type of chord that you got to use will be hovering over their heads. And when you're starting out, like the very first chord that you use in this game is an ES. So, that's basically all that is holding down the second and third strings from the top, at the very second fret of the guitar. And when that's the first one you do, all the enemies and stuff, that's the only chord you got to use. But then you'll come across another runestone, and it'll have, say, AS, which is like the first one, but it's two strings down. So now you've got zombies that have both the first chord and the second chord. Then it just keeps going from there. And as the game goes on, you learn new chords. First of all, it's got like an anti-frustration feature because there's no continues. So you can just restart anytime you need to. It really, that muscle memory really kicks in after you've been doing that a while. So
is it working for you?
Oh, yes, it is. I can already play some stuff now. So
nice.
Yeah. Other than that, just doing, you know, reading as usual. I really don't have anything new to talk about on that front. And, of course, school stuff. The current unit I'm working on, I'm almost done with. And what that does is that after I'm done with that, that means I'll be done with the coding handbook. And then I'm getting into, after that, it's going to be the coding blocks. And that's basically code boot camp. where you're scored and basically have to ride or die, basically. And it's basically, it's also sort of meant to instill like the stuff that you got to memorize going forward. Cause like I don't know if I've said this before, but my brain has a tendency to want to overcomplicate it sometimes because, you know, I want to be sure that, you know, all the details are going to be included, but the handbook tells you is like, look, there are certain details that aren't essential to include. And, you know, it all depends on, you know, how the doctor writes it out. But also, I would be playing the Anthem demo, but yeah. Don't know if you've been keeping up on that one.
No.
A convoluted mess.
Basically, what happened is that there is a bug somewhere in... I don't think it's necessarily in the game itself. It's in how you log into it to play the demo. But apparently it ended up not just affecting Anthem, but all of Origin.
Nice.
Wow, they pulled a Bethesda.
Yeah. But for the record, apparently they've solved it a little earlier. Now you just have to go and reinstall the demo. But here's the good news, though, is that the people who have had a chance to play it actually really like it. So, you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
It seems promising.
Yeah, it does, and I really want to like it. And, you know, I told Darev, obviously, I'm going to be the one who's going to be reviewing it. So I would ask for a code, but this is EA we're talking about. So they don't
they
do
would
that.
Probably tell us to fornicate ourselves with tree branches.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to try and play the demo tonight, and I'll get back to you. But
okay.
All right. So anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on?
Nope.
I'm good.
No.
All right. Well, then, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And tonight, by a request from Pat, I'm going to explain.
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of. I'm going to explain to you how the Roman Empire fell. Because I don't know if you ever it's like for all the like crackpots and moralizers, the fall of Rome is like this thing where it's like, you know, this was a great civilization and look what happened to it. And, you know, people will blame everything from immigration to sexual promiscuity to, you know, weakness and loss of vitality or a lack of religious fervor.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the first thing you need to know. The fall of Rome was not like this great apocalyptic event that we imagine it is. Like, you know, this wasn't like an age where like all the, you know, everybody in the Roman Empire was fucking and sucking in each other and suddenly it all just turned to dust, you know. So, okay, first thing you need to know. Number one, by the time the Roman Empire fell, as we like to call it, as we say, like I said, that's not entirely an accurate way to describe it, and I'll explain in a little while, in a little later. But by the time Rome fell, the empire had been thoroughly Christianized for a few hundred years. So that's the first thing to point out first. Yeah. Most of the old Hellenic, you know, Roman religions had essentially slowly died out due to the fact that, you know, at that point, the Roman Empire had essentially decided to choose Christianity as the dominant religion, and it sort of just managed to push all the other ones out. Now, there was once or twice when, like, the emperor, say, like Emperor Julian, tried to reintroduce them, but they failed. So, thoroughly Christianized by that point, okay? And, of course, that went with all the weird sexual moral bullshit that goes with it. Plus side, there was no more pederasty, but, you know. Okay, number two. The big thing with this is people usually saying that the fall of Rome happens when the city of Rome itself was sacked. Right? By the Visigoths.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem with that. By that point, Rome basically fell, the city of Rome, out of nothing else more than neglect. Because by this point in time, Rome was no longer the capital of the Roman Empire. Constantine had moved the capital over to another city, which you may have known, called Constantinople. Now, you can't go back to Constantinople, and nobody knows but the Turks. They might be giants reference.
Yes.
But yeah, by that point, Rome had basically become sort of a backwater. But and so it, you know, a lot of the sort of crumbling we imagine had already started, because by that point it wasn't the center of the empire anymore. Constantinople was, and so basically it just left it wide open for the Visigoths. As for the Visigoths, that's another thing. People who blame the fall of Rome on immigration always forget that. That probably wouldn't have happened if, you know, they hadn't hired those people to be their army.
Mm-hmm.
Another major reason that Rome eventually dissolved was because it had outsourced most of its military endeavors to outside parties. Usually barbarian tribes, one of them being the Visigoths.
Shocking.
Yeah. And last but not least, because it is important, the entire Roman Empire did not fall. The western part mostly dissolved over time. Now, that's going to take some explaining. Sometime during the late era of the Roman Empire, after the sacking of Rome, they realized there was the leaders of Rome had realized that the empire had gotten a little too big and unwieldy to control. So they came up with this idea where they would divide the Roman Empire in two, and each part of the empire would have its own emperor, and there would be like a dual emperorship to rule over the collective empire. The western half, because again, like I said, at that point, Constantinople, which had been the center of the empire, was in the eastern part. Rome was in the western part. And over time, it just sort of got picked away at by all the various tribes and barbarian groups that were around it, basically. The eastern half, however, kept going for another 1,000 years. It's just that we don't call that the Roman Empire. We call it the Byzantine Empire. Mm-hmm. And that one lasted well into the 1700s. Until it was eventually swallowed up by the Ottomans. And that's how Rome fell. It wasn't some big apocalyptic destructive event. It was just that it basically went the same way all empires do. It dissolved into irrelevance.
Makes sense.
Also, it's important to remember that Romans did not have the kind of concept of like a racial caste system like we do. Their sort of views were all very national based. You know, you were either a Roman or you weren't a Roman. You know, it didn't matter, you know, what your particular skin color was or necessarily your nationality. If you were a Roman citizen, you were a Roman citizen. If you were a slave, maybe you could become a Roman citizen later if you could buy your way into freedom. By the way, couldn't do that in American slavery. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So
all because of a meme I posted.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now it's time to get on with the show proper. And as always, we have to start with our assholes of the week. And come on. You knew who it was, what this was going to involve this week.
Low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Because I swear this piece of footage there is no other piece of footage that's been replayed and analyzed as much since the fucking Zapruder film. But should we start at the beginning?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's usually a good place to start.
Okay. So I believe this was last week. Do we remember what specific day this was? Because I'm having trouble remembering. I know it was the March for Life rally in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I think it was Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. So, March for Life rally. You guys know what that is, right?
Yeah.
It's the giant anti-abortion rally that happens every year.
Mm-hmm. That's when everybody starts putting their bullshit up on Facebook.
Yep.
Making everybody else want to stop using Facebook.
Yeah. So, what you need to know about the March for Life is that one of the things this thing does is that they will go to all these big Catholic high schools all over the country, and they'll bus in their students for, like, you know, for a field day so that they can inflate their numbers. And they don't do this just for high schools either. They do it for elementary schools, middle schools, all of them. And amongst this...
That sounds like a good idea, a good way to get your tax exempt status questioned.
Well, they're private, remember? Private religious schools. And yes, that is a good way to have their tax exemption status, but you know how the fucking loopholes with shit go with that. Now, this particular group that we're talking about, a group of kids all decked out in MAGA gear from a private high school called Covington in Kentucky. For the record, just because, Teresa, I know your family is originally from Kentucky, have you had any run-ins with people from this area before?
No, that's in the populated area of the state. No, but they sound like typical run-of-the-mill, any Kentucky white high school kid. I mean, yeah. Honest to God.
So what happened was these kids were on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. They claimed that it was because they were waiting for their bus to pick them up. And, you know, that's what they claim. That might be the truth. I don't know. I don't know specifically why they picked that part. I think maybe they had been taking pictures there or something, which, okay, fine. You know, you're playing tourist. That's cool. Now, as these kids were there doing whatever, across the street from them was a group of black Hebrew Israelites. Now, for those of you who don't know who these are, this is a particular cult. And if you live in big city areas in a lot of the United States, you'll see them somewhere. They're basically trolls who, you know, stand on a street corner and yell at people. And really, there is no question. These guys are assholes.
Yeah, fuck them too.
No, they are not black Muslims. They are, in fact, people who believe that black people are, in fact, the true Hebrews from Israel. Now, for the record, there are communities in Africa that originated from Israel, like in Ethiopia, for example. But we're not, this isn't, that isn't who they're talking about. And so they're yelling at these kids, you know, calling them a bunch of racist, homophobic language. And let's just say that it started to look like there was a fight was going to happen. One kid takes off his shirt and starts jumping around. They started chanting school spirit stuff. Apparently, one of the black Hebrew Israelites pointed out that there didn't seem to be any black people in the crowd. For the record, there was actually two black kids in the crowd. And at one point, the crowd started chanting, bring Jamal, who was apparently one of the black kids in the group. Now, if you heard this in chant, you can hear this and can kind of understand why someone would mistake them for saying, yeah, build the wall. So while all of this is happening, there is a group, there is a parade of activists who are taking part in Indigenous Peoples Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the head of that is a gentleman by the name of Nathan Phillips, who is an elder who owns a sacred pipe, and he was, you know, had his drum and he was doing chants. What was going to happen was that they were going to go through their parade route, you know, and the parade, which at that point had no issues whatsoever. It had been completely peaceful. And the idea was they were going to go up and Mr. Phillips, he was going to climb up the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. He was going to say a sacred prayer, and then that would be the end of it. Now, keep in mind, if you're wanting to know why they choose the Lincoln Memorial, it's because that one of the bad parts of Lincoln's legacy is that he signed on to the largest mass hanging in American history, made up entirely of Native Americans. Hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So as this group is coming around, they all come across and holy shit, you've got this whole bunch of pissed off white kids, this small group of large, angry black men, and they're about to just beat the ever loving hell out of each other.
What could possibly go wrong?
And so the parade decides to go through them. And Nathan Phillips says, okay, as Phillips has himself has said, and by the way, if you want to know who our hero of the week is, it's him. He decides, oh, look, this is fixing to get bad. I need to do something to defuse this situation or somebody's going to get hurt. So he decides to start banging on his drum and chanting, hopefully to get the attention onto him. So he does this, okay? And he decides, okay, now I need to go up the steps so I can do my little prayer and we can finish this whole thing and go home. So he goes to the steps, goes to the right, he's blocked. Okay. And if you've watched the video, you can clearly see him do this. Okay. This isn't me conspiracizing or anything. Watch the whole thing. So then he's like, okay, well, I'll go over here. He goes to the left. He's still blocked out. Now, at this point, most of the kids start to realize, oh, okay, I think he needs to get up to the steps. Why don't we clear out and see if we can let him through? So they start to move aside. Except for that one grinning fucker that you see in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when the footage starts that everybody has seen. It's Nathan here beating on his drum and chanting. That kid, what's his name? Sandman or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Something like that.
He's just there grinning. You know, he's, you know, and, you know, if you've seen the video, that's where it goes.
Yeah.
So through all of this, you're probably, there's probably a bunch of questions going on in your head, you know, like, you know, amongst other things, who really is in the wrong here? Obviously something bad happened. We need somebody to point the finger at. Honestly, I'm going to be completely honest here. And we're going to tell you, these are our assholes of the week. You want to know who it is that really is at fault here? More than these kids, more than those Black Hebrew Israelite assholes. The fucking adult chaperones who apparently were doing fuck all to stop any of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just going to let that sort of sink in just a minute because nobody fucking mentions it.
Yeah, it's like they should get their adult licenses revoked.
Yeah, remember, these are kids on a field trip. They're supposed to be chaperoned by adults. You know, had this tense situation, you think these adults would get, okay, you guys, we're going to move 100 yards over this way. But
that that would have been very logical.
It's almost like they wanted something like this to happen.
They didn't do fuck all. And the school said, look, our chaperones couldn't have done anything differently. Fuck you, they couldn't have done anything differently. They could have been fucking adult chaperones. Tell them, okay, you little shits, we're going to move over here. You're going to shut your mouths and you're going to like it.
Yep.
That's what they did when we went on field trips. Jeez.
Right? There, no.
You don't say anything. You don't touch anything.
You know, that's one of the things that you teach kids in school is you got to trust your teacher because if she or he says, get down right now, you don't say, well, why? Because your brains are going to be blasted all over the chalkboard. You get the fuck down right now. There's got to be that level of trust and instant obedience in that kind of situation. I'm not one to advocate that, but you know, when there's a certain tone, you tell a kid, absolutely not. It's over. But there is no parent, no adult anywhere saying, absolutely not. This is unacceptable.
Yeah. But
and
no.
That's stupid. I mean, I do it to other people's kids. I don't have any fucking problem doing that.
Yeah.
I don't understand what their problem is. Other than, like Pat said, they wanted shit to happen.
Yeah. And now because of that, you know, okay, so for those of you who want to know, the full video of all this came from the Black Hebrew Israelites themselves, because that's usually what they do. Again, they're basically trolls. That's just what they do. And what made it even worse is when the school and that little punk and his mother decided to get involved and talk about how, no, my kids were being harassed by a bunch of Black Muslims. No, again, they weren't Muslims. It's the Black Hebrew Israelites. And saying, I ain't taking part in your fake news hate. Yes, they did actually use the phrase fake news.
Yeah. Of course they fucking did.
Oh, and since, remember, this is a private Catholic school, and they're all a bunch of richy riches, they decided to hire a publicity firm.
Mm-hmm.
And get the heat off of them.
That went well.
Well, it is for the people who believe their rhetoric.
Yeah, and also, while you're doing this, be careful of who you're talking to online when you're talking about this, because it's also come out that apparently this publicity firm uses paid trolls, apparently. Mm-hmm. People to skew the conversation in certain ways. Fuck these kids, especially fuck the fucking adults who did fucking nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And seriously, how the fuck are you gonna let a bunch of kids get in a fight with a bunch of grown ass adults and not do nothing?
That's it's unconscionable. I swear to God.
And you notice I haven't mentioned anything about that thing about how apparently one of the kids dressed up in blackface during the high school football shit.
Well, that's a whole different can of worms.
Yeah, and that's a whole other thing because obviously it's, you know, blackout, which is like one of those things that happens in high school and college football.
Yeah.
It's a contest, and that would be fine. But the motherfucker painted lips and shit on him. I mean, come on. Again, this is Kentucky we're talking about.
Yeah.
Somebody would have brought it up. And no, I don't want this to ruin any of those kids' lives. I did stupid shit when I was that age, too. You know? But I also want them to have a lesson taught. I want them to learn shit, you know? I want them to walk away from this knowing that they did wrong and why.
Well, right now they're learning that they can throw money at a problem and their money and their privilege is going to get them out of it.
It doesn't even have to be their money. It's their parents that are going to bail them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for the record, look, I know that Elder Nathan Phillips, he did have something of a shady past back in the 70s. You know, and, you know, I also know that, you know, yeah, he was a Vietnam veteran. Now, he didn't actually fight over in Nam. He worked as a mechanic over here in the U.S. Hmm. But don't change the fact he was still an Army vet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my fucking high school principal was a military vet. You know what he did? He was an accountant for the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make you any less of a military veteran?
Mm-mm. This whole thing has me just fucking done with Facebook. Done. I cannot stand to see the ignorance and the willful bashing of anybody who disagrees with their opinion that keeps coming out of the fingertips of relatives.
Well, anyway. So, yeah, that was our assholes and heroes of the week.
Glad we got that out of our systems.
Yeah, that whole story just made me feel icky.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I also want to bring up, one of those kids was, somebody was saying something bad about the natives. He's like, well, the natives helped start. Okay, first of all, I want to say it. Just saying they started it doesn't get you off, motherfucker, okay?
No. I mean, that happened in, what, third grade? Where you could say, well, she started it.
Well, look who's our president.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, he does have about the maturity of a third grader, so.
You know,
now, apparently at some point, one of these kids said something stupid, and one of the Native Americans said, well, you folks need to go back to Europe. Mm. And I am 100% okay with that statement, because fuck them. But anyway. Right, moving on. Let us never talk about that shit again.
Right.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
Yeah. On to something even more distasteful.
Okay. All right. So as of today, and we're starting the proper show proper here. As of today, it now looks like the government shutdown is going to be coming to a close.
Well,
after 30 days.
I think this is the longest one.
It is the longest government shutdown in American history.
It was the longest one last week.
Mm-hmm. President Donald Trump came forward and said, we have reached an agreement to help restart government at least until February 13th. Between that time, there will be a bipartisan group to sort of discuss and negotiate over funds for potential fencing or post or maybe even a quote unquote wall.
He wishes.
Yeah, it did. So basically what it is that he fucking caved. That's what happened.
He had to.
Because he wasn't going to get his fucking wall. I hope everybody needs to understand that. That wall is not happening, okay? No. He's had 2 years to do that, to get that shit done. It ain't happening, okay? It's not. Mexico is not going to pay for it. The American taxpayers are not going to fucking pay for it. He can just fuck off.
Yeah.
You think Pelosi's going to put Toad on eBay?
Probably. And I'd be completely okay with it. But yeah, so
obviously take you a second, Teresa.
Yeah, yep.
Obviously, people had to, you know, and for a while the MAGA crowd had deluded themselves, thinking he is going to get his wall. They're going to get gradual funding, and then slowly the reality hit them. Gradual funding that is controlled by the House of Representatives.
Which is no. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. So hopefully maybe it'll be over by next week. All those people can finally go back to work.
Yeah. There's still a question about whether or not a lot of these people are going to get the money that they're owed, which is another whole can of worms. So that is another potential shit show in the works.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And none of this had to happen. Okay. This is entirely on the GOP. Nobody else to blame but them. And now they're freaking the fuck out because now they're saying, oh my God, he's the Saurian chief. Oh.
I prefer Commander and Cheeto personally.
Commando.
I really can't believe so many people deluded themselves into thinking this would actually work. And
well, the moment it became a hostage crisis, it became a non-starter.
Yeah. And then
because you cannot let that become a working tactic.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you pay attention. Yesterday, the news rolled out that apparently they were previewing a national emergency proclamation over this shit. And they was like, and the reason they did it is because they wanted to test the waters. You know, that's why something like that, why a quote unquote leak like that usually happens. Because they want to see what the reaction is going to be. And the reaction is exactly what you fucking thought it was. So, apparently that's also been scrapped for the time being. Keep in mind who is our commander-in-chief at the moment. So he could just turn around and say, fuck it, we're going to do that. Because he's that fucking stupid and stubborn.
Yeah, if you're trying to incite rebellion again in your populace, that's a pretty good way of doing it.
Yeah. You know, keep in mind that a national emergency would mean he'd be able to spend money without congressional oversight. Thing is, though, even if that did happen, the Congress would then file suit, and he would lose that case because there's precedent. But anyway, so it looks like this shit show is finally coming to a close. And just to build off that bit of good news, our next story. We got another major indictment in the Russian collusion case from Mueller's office. He was arrested today in front of the cameras. Roger Stone.
Yeah.
Now, for the record, people have been asking, why were so many news cameras there so quickly to watch him do it? Probably because people have been talking about this for the last 7 months. It's been guessed that he was going to be the next person to be indicted pretty soon. But yeah, so where to begin? Roger Stone was a former Nixon aide. And in fact, he was one of the 18 people who were charged in the original Watergate case. He was actually the youngest person in that group to have that. And just to show you the type of person he is, he has a picture of Nixon tattooed on his back.
Ooh.
Classy.
And he is proud to show it to you if you ask him.
I'm going to ask him.
Yeah, he is also one of Roy Cohn's proteges. And if you don't know who Roy Cohn was, he was Joseph McCarthy's lawyer.
Nope. Nope.
Amongst other proteges include such luminaries as Lee Atwater and Karl Rove.
Classy citizens there.
It's the Legion of Doom.
Yes, it kind of is.
Roger Stone is the type of person. He is a person that people have been wanting to see go down since the mid-70s.
Well, and we use the word person loosely.
Yeah, he is the quintessential political hitman.
You know, Dan Rather still is quite active, and he usually doesn't flat out say his opinions. Mm-hmm. And he posted, I've followed the career of Roger Stone for decades, and he always struck me as a man who thought he was too smart to get caught. And that's really fucking close to voicing an opinion.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Also, should be pointed out, in the 80s, he and a couple of other luminaries named Peter J. G. Kelly, Charles R. Black Jr., and, are you ready for it? Paul Manafort. Formed a lobbying firm called Black Manafort Stone and Kelly, BMSK. Their clients include people like Jonas Savimbi, an Angolan warlord, dictators such as Sani Abacha of Nigeria and Daniel Arap Moi of Kenya. And also the Tobacco Institute.
Wow. Just, you know, wow.
Oh, I ain't done. You know who some of their other clients are?
Beelzebub?
Herbalife.
Oh, well, pretty damn close.
Also Phil Graham. And he himself is quoted as saying, "Our firm lined up most of the dictators in the world that we could find. Pro-Western dictators, of course. Dictators are in the eye of the beholder." The Center for Public Integrity in 1992 labeled them the torturers' lobby. He also was involved with a bunch of spoiler candidates from 1995 to 2014. That includes everyone from Trump's first run back in 2000 when he was running for the Reform Party. He also worked for Al Sharpton and Gary Johnson in 2004 and 2012, respectively. He also was involved in a bribery case in the 80s with I think it was, God, who was it? Somebody Anderson, I can't remember. He also worked with Arlen Specter. He also supported the candidacy of Kristen M. Davis, who ran a high-end prostitution ring for governor of New York. He ended up supporting both her and Carl Paladino. There's another blast from the past.
Wow.
For those of you who are keeping track, Roger Stone is number 37.
Uh-huh.
37?
37 indictments.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's no corruption here at all.
No, none whatsoever.
Yeah. He also claims that back during the 2000 U.S. presidential election, he helped organize the so-called Brooks Brothers riot, which was basically just an AstroTurf demonstration of a bunch of GOP staffers from D.C.
And that named for, like, the fashion brand Brooks Brothers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck.
And then finally, and he, as we now know him now, he became working with Donald Trump. His ties with Trump obviously go way back. He worked as a lobbyist for for Trump's New Jersey casino business, you know, before it, you know, went bankrupt.
Yeah.
Because apparently he is that bad that you can actually bankrupt a casino. He was also, and of course, he was an advisor for the campaign and campaign advisor until August 8, 2015. Depending on who he was either fired or quit, depending on which person you believe. But he still ended up being a massive supporter. He posted in Twitter in 2014, Soviet agent Bernie Sanders should be arrested for treason and shot.
Oh, that aged well.
Yeah. Today he was arrested in Florida by the FBI and charged with Robert Mueller's investigation of the Trump-Russia connection with one count of obstruction of proceedings, five counts of making false statements, and one of witness tampering.
Yeah.
Should we also say he is also a conspiracy theorist? He believes He believes that Lyndon B. Johnson was responsible for JFK's assassination. He believes that the Clintons murdered JFK Jr. You may remember JFK Jr. died in a plane crash.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an accident. He was flying it.
He believes that Huma Abedin was most likely a spy for Saudi Arabia. That Huma Abedin, though, you know, was one of Hillary Clinton's advisors. He's convinced that Clinton ordered the murder of Seth Rich. Says that Bill Clinton has an illegitimate black son.
Not entirely sure how that would work.
I'm pretty sure how it would work, but
yeah.
Did he mean biracial?
That's possible.
Yeah.
And of course, birtherism. He's one of those assholes as well.
Oh God.
Lovely
figures.
He also once claimed that he was poisoned with polonium by someone trying to frame Russia. He's never shown anything God. That could support that.
Too good to be true.
But yeah, this jackass is finally fucking going down. And like I said, there are people who've been waiting to see him fight it for decades.
Yep.
And now it looks like it's going to happen. And of course, what?
Well, like, how many of these people would still be out there getting away with untold fucking bullshit if is this our silver lining of Trump being president? I hate to say that,
I guess. Yeah, I'd say that, but yeah.
It's like, you know, the political immune system getting active, you know?
Yeah.
It's like weeding out the diseases.
But, yeah, so thank God this is that he's finally going to be going down. Probably not going to be the last one, because I am expecting one of the Trump kids is going to go down too. Mm. And probably Trump himself.
Yeah, eventually.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, if Trump himself doesn't go down for this, then all this is for nothing.
No, still not for nothing, but it would feel like it.
All right. All right, so that's it for the serious portion of the show. So next up, we got some entertainment stuff first from Netflix. They're teaming up with Sandra Bullock again for another project. As you don't know, of course, the last major project she did for Netflix was Bird Box, which was a massive hit and unfortunately also inspired one of the dumbest meme challenges.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about the one that happened here in Utah?
Yeah. Was it the one driving?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't even make sense, because if you've read the book or actually seen the movie, they don't fucking do that. Nobody puts on blindfolds and drives in that movie.
Mm. Yeah. Nobody wants to black out their windows, so.
They do. Yes, they tint their windows and use GPS in order to make sure where they are.
Yeah.
So. Which
technically wouldn't work anyway.
Lag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, new sci-fi movie from her. No idea what it is or when it's coming out.
It's actually an adaptation of a graphic novel by Mark Miller.
Oh, yeah, okay. Which one?
Reborn.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's it has the potential to be pretty good.
All right. Sounds good to me. All right.
Yeah.
Next up. We got Star Trek news. So, new Star Trek show is coming up. We know that, obviously, Jean-Luc Picard will be a feature in it.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, he has basically walked away from Starfleet at this point.
Yeah, it's actually takes place in an alternate timeline. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of the events didn't really happen. But this is seemingly set after he's done with Starfleet, so assuming this is after his career.
Mm-hmm. So he's retired, in other
retired
words.
Or something.
Which, yeah, considering his age, makes
well, and his desire to do more archaeology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it might have something to do with that. I don't know. Jonathan Frakes says, yeah, it's probably going to be a little bit different than what you're expecting, but it probably going to be pretty good.
I actually would prefer it to be a little bit different than what we're expecting, because I'm going to be honest, the Star Trek formula kind of gets tired after a while.
Yes.
Have you been watching Discovery?
No.
Watch. No. It's
I watched the first couple of episodes and I couldn't get into it. Maybe I should stick with it a little longer.
There's a bit of a twist further in.
Twist!
Yeah. What a twist!
Come in, it's me, Star.
Oh no, see, I was going with Robot Chicken. What a twist!
What a twist!
Maybe I'll go to
All right.
I'll turn on the Klingon subtitles.
Yeah.
Next up, next up, in yet another reason that fucking 90s kids, we all just need to fuck off and die. Space Jam 2 is going to start filming this summer.
Does I need to finally get around to watching the first one?
Yeah, you probably do.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, it really is.
It's dumb as all hell.
Yeah.
I probably would have liked it when I was a kid, but...
Oh, I fucking loved it when I was a kid.
Me too.
Then I became an adult and realized how stupid it is.
Yeah. So they're apparently making another one, and I still have no idea why. I don't get it. I know that 90s nostalgia is apparently big right now.
I blame meme culture.
Yeah. I mean, who are you going to get to? You going to have Michael Jordan in there again? I mean, he couldn't act in the first one. Why would anybody expect him to be able to
get somebody like fucking like Steph Curry or something?
Yeah, I mean, he would be more
relevant. John Cena.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, John Cena has done several movies already, so he's well versed in that. And none of them have been any good. So, yeah, he'd fit right in.
Yeah. What's going to be weird is, you know, how are they going to go about with the Looney Tunes? Because I don't know if you've noticed, but the Looney Tunes, especially Lola, who made her first appearance in Space Jam, have kind of undergone a redesign over the last few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas in, you know, the recent ones, Lola's sort of stalkerish bits, I guess would be the best way to describe her. Whereas basically in the original Space Jam, her whole point was to basically make little boys' balls drop. and to create a whole new generation of furries.
Yeah.
But yeah. So for those of you who never saw the original movie, the basic premise was is that there were these aliens who had a theme park and it wasn't making any money. And they wanted to come up with some scheme to make money. And they discovered the Looney Tunes and they say, all right. We'll take the Looney Tunes, we'll capture them, enslave them, bring them back, and we'll make them do stuff for us, and that'll get us money. And then when they do, of course, the Looney Tunes are actually much bigger than the actual aliens, so they decide, okay, what are we going to do to decide this? We'll have a basketball game! And,
of course.
So what happens to the aliens is the aliens take some kind of magic basketball and they go around and steal the talent from various other big basketball players. Mm-hmm. You know, Charles Barkley and Larry Bird, you know.
Yeah. Big names of the day.
And the Looney Tunes, well, they get Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
That's the movie.
Yeah, basically. And it made millions.
Oh, it broke bank, dude.
Do you think that, like, we could put this whole wall thing to rest? Maybe Pelosi could challenge Trump to a game of basketball?
Yeah, and then she can get Barack Obama.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently he is damn good at it.
Yeah.
I also have to mention the other major reason that Space Jam made so much money was its ending theme.
Yeah.
Which you may remember, that was I Believe I Can Fly.
Yep.
By one R. Kelly.
Came a meme.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Always happens.
Seriously, when I was a kid, that fucking song was everywhere.
You couldn't go to the mall without hearing it.
It was basically what, you know, My Heart Will Go On was. It's just, you could basically use it to time shit.
Yeah.
You know, it would come on radio every 10 minutes. You could basically cook an egg by it.
Yeah.
So the whole I Believe I Can Fly thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the thing with meme culture, when your child who has never heard fucking R. Kelly in his whole fucking life because, you know, you're a good parent, start singing that, my blood pressure went through the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the movie goes, yeah, we probably know it's going to be terrible, but at the same time, I do kind of want to see what a couple of decades of technological advancement will do for this type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a movie that actually ends up looking pretty darn good, even though it's awful.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to spend money on it, that's for sure.
All right. Next up, GLAAD, that's the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. They have a media awards thing that they do every year for, media that promotes, gay equality and gay liberation, stuff like that. And usually, I'll be completely honest, most of the time it's either dumb comedies or really fucking depressing. But they are actually dropping Bohemian Rhapsody from the awards this year, and you probably know why.
Yeah, Bryan Singer, the director.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was apparently a raping piece of shit.
Yeah, he was fondling and having sex with underage boys. So, GLAAD says, the impact of this film is undeniable. We believe, however, that we must send a clear and... I always fuck up this word. Message to the LGBTQ youth and all the survivors of sexual assault that GLAAD and our community will stand with the survivors and will not be silent when it comes to protecting them from those who would do them harm.
Good.
Yeah, I'm kind of with them on this one. It's, as good as the movie was, if it's associated with a scumbag like that, you don't really want that.
Yeah. It's so horrible, too, to have, you know, Queen's memory, in a way, tarnished by what he did. By what this other guy, who had fucking nothing to do with them, did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing to do with them, but he just happened to be the director, and he happened to be doing stuff that he shouldn't have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, I don't know if he was doing any of this during the movie, the filming of the movie, but that's right. So, timing is not, apparently there's no statute of limitations with this kind of stuff, nor should there be. Watch the movie, though. At least, yeah, even if Bryan Singer is associated with this, you should still watch it.
Yeah.
All right, and finally, to wrap all of this up, it's National Florida Day. The day we celebrate America's dick. It's always hanging out and it's taking a piss on Cuba.
I am never going to look at the Florida the same way again.
Yeah.
Thank you for that one.
Now, unlike a lot of states, Florida has a particular peculiarity to its laws that makes it stand out. And it's that arrest records in Florida are public record.
Yeah.
Which means anybody can go in and get a Florida man story every single day. That's why there's so many of them. Now, to be completely honest, if there were other states that had this, it would probably not just be Florida.
Yeah.
Then again, there are...
It might just give Florida new notoriety.
Yeah, it's also important to remember, Florida has some other eccentric parts of it, because it's probably, next to Louisiana, just the strangest state in the union. Because Florida is basically three different states all packed into one. You know, you're around Miami, it's basically New York and, you know, mini Cuba. Get up towards Orlando, it's basically Middle America, where Middle America goes to retire and die. And then you get up to
the further north you go, the further south you get.
Yeah, and then you get up to the Panhandle, and that's where Jacksonville and the swamps, and that is straight redneck country. Then, of course, there's, you know, the alligators and the live boa constrictors that people apparently keep trying to keep as pets that are now so numerous that they're basically a statewide menace.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Somebody thought that was a good idea.
And then, of course, there's the hurricanes and the tropical storms and the red tide. And let's just say there's a reason why most people only go down there to stay maybe a couple weeks at most.
Also, the random drug packages that wash up on beaches. That's a thing, too.
Yeah, but that could be both a good or a bad thing, depending on what's being shipped.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Bonus prize!
Yeah. Anyway, in celebration of Florida Day, we got here from NBC2... 13 Florida man stories to make your Florida day even better. So, are we ready? Number one, Florida man says three syringes found in his ass aren't his.
Of course not. He sat on them by accident.
There are links in each of these to go further into the stories, too.
Yeah.
With pictures, at least of the perps, generally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm it's like, aren't you not looking like before you sit down, apparently? Because you really should.
Oh, he was looking all right.
Well, no, it was three syringes removed during a strip search at the Pinellas County Jail. And he's claiming they do not belong to him.
Well, no, but you know, that cavity in your ass sure belongs to you.
He was arrested on a drug charge early Friday morning. I'm guessing this was Friday last week. Oh, no, it was earlier this month.
Yeah, this is a compilation story.
Yeah.
All right.
I think these are all fairly recent, though. While he was being strip searched, he removed three syringes and gave them to a deputy and then told them they were not his.
I was just holding them for somebody.
Oh, God.
Number two, Florida man chews up police car seat following cocaine arrest.
Well,
deputies say
some in his system too.
Deputies said a 37-year-old man chewed up the seat of a police car after he was arrested for cocaine possession. Allegedly had more than 40 grams of cocaine on him. Damn, that's a lot. When deputies pulled him over, he had a warrant for a probation for violation for selling cocaine. And they tried to arrest him. He tried to run away, but was taken down to the ground. Had to use a taser to stop him. He then sat in the back of a control car while deputy searched his jacket. While inside the patrol car, Stubbs kicked the passenger side door. And then noticed, that's when deputies took a look inside, and they noticed a large chunk of the back seat had been chewed off. All in all, it amounts to about $1,000 in damages.
Because that was a leather seat.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Those are some healthy choppers on that guy.
Yeah. Shout out to his dentist.
Yeah.
That is quality work.
All right. Number three. Florida man accused of stabbing woman over underdone potato. Honestly, I've had an underdone potato before, and I admit I have been driven to stab someone because of it. I just didn't actually do it. All right, police say
a Georgia man story.
Yeah,
right.
Police say a 36-year-old Florida man is accused of stabbing a woman with a fork over an undercooked potato. He was arrested Monday, charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. He remains in Nassau County Jail on $25,002 bond. That's an oddly specific number.
I'm just wondering what hurdles they had to jump to classify fork as deadly.
Well,
arrest report says the victim told a witness that Crumpton stabbed her in the head with a fork.
In the fucking head?
In the head. Crumpton told investigators he threw the fork. Okay, Crumpton told investigators, this is, by the way, Crumpton is the guy who was arrested, said he threw the fork at her and it glanced off her head.
Mm-hmm.
Police said the woman had multiple stab wounds and blood was on her head, but she refused treatment for her injuries.
She needs to go get a fucking tetanus shot, dude. Shit.
All right. Wow. Next up.
This was my favorite.
Florida man tries to steal vending machine. That's number four.
And they've got a picture of the guy.
Yeah, from the security camera.
And the only thing I can think of is that episode of C-Lab 2021 where Murphy gets stuck under the Bebop cola machine because it fell over on him.
Police say heist happened back in May at the Dominion Tower in Miami. However, surveillance video was only recently released. Video shows him taking his precious time maneuvering the machine from the quarter, scooting it inch by inch. I don't blame him. Those things are fucking heavy.
Yeah. As an ex-Walmart janitor, I can attest to this.
Yeah, man. I used to work at Walmart, too, and I had to move one of those. Fucking. Yeah, let me tell you, that isn't something you can do with a winch. You got to get a fucking
crew.
Yeah.
A crew.
After about 3 minutes, he pushed the machine onto the elevator, took it to the first floor to the eighth floor. He got to the eighth floor, he pushed it onto the hallway, and it appears that he was intending to take the money that was inside the vending machine. Machine was found with damage to the money slot, but the man had no luck. He got away without any cash or food. Police are still looking for the man.
Maximum effort.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Number five. Florida man sets raccoon on fire for eating his mangoes.
Okay, I can understand that.
Yeah.
No. Just no. Yeah, you don't mess with the raccoons, just really.
And the quote from this guy, Ezra James, the suspect, 88 years old, first time I ever have to go to jail. I never thought about killing nobody in my lifetime. No man, no woman, no kid. But apparently he really fucking loved his mangoes.
Yeah, don't fuck with somebody's food. That's
Says
here, James, he posted 2,000 bail just before he described his plans to kill a raccoon, however, for eating his mangoes and to prevent it from biting him and giving him rabies. Quote, James, I throw some gasoline on him and light a match.
And the poor fucking thing was in a trap when he did that. So,
and said a neighbor saw what was happening and called the police. She's a wicked woman, James said of that neighbor. James is originally from Jamaica and said he did not know that authorities would have humanely euthanized the raccoon. Police arrived on Friday morning. James watched an officer shoot the raccoon to put it out of its misery.
It was alive.
Yeah, it was still alive.
Yeah.
James may now have to explain his actions to some disturbed neighbors. One of his neighbors, Nancy Gill, said, I never would have believed he would have done that. Sure hope he thinks about it because God don't want us to do stuff like that. And when asked if James would ever set another raccoon on fire, he answered, no, I'm done with that.
Got it out of his system.
Yeah.
Well, 88 years old, so yeah.
All right, number six. Florida man arrested after video shows him attacking McDonald's employee. Someone was McHangry.
Yeah, that girl, like, she looks like she's about to give it right back to him, too. Good for her.
Yeah. Plenty of people were outraged after watching a video of a man attacking a young woman working at McDonald's on New Year's Day. Oh, damn, she had to work there on New Year's?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Daniel Taylor, 40, was eventually arrested and charged with 2 misdemeanor counts of simple battery.
Oh, this is actually pretty bad. Oh, she is punching the shit out of him.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this video before.
Yes!
See,
she is not taking his shit.
He remains in Pinellas County Wednesday morning on $500 bond. Video shows the suspect lunging at the worker and grabbing her by the collar while trying to pull her over the counter. The employee fights him off and how while managing to deliver a couple of punches to his face. What set off a firestorm on social media was how a manager handled the situation, prompting people to deject race into how the suspect was initially treated. The attacker was white and the employee was black. After the attack, the suspect points his finger at the worker, demanding she be fired as a manager finishes preparing the violent customer's order. I want her ass fired right now. The suspect says in the video as a manager reads his receipt while other workers clean the mess from the fight. The employee responds, you fitting to go to jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Seriously, people, don't fuck with the people who handle your food.
Yeah, he was really rough with her, too. Mm. He was really rough. And when it looks like once she got over her shock, she just fucking wailed on him.
Yeah.
Right in his fucking temple. Good for her.
Yeah.
Number 7. Florida man runs for his life as neighbor chases him with tractor.
It's a good reason to run.
Yeah, I'd say so.
This wasn't just any tractor either. It was one of those earth movers.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And the poor guy running. He's, oh, God. He's, yeah.
I mean, obviously this guy was not trying very hard because those things can do like 20 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Two Florida men got into an argument last month, and the unusual footage was just released. Scott Lynch ran for his life, as seen in the video, as his neighbor, Howell Morris, chased him down with his tractor. Lynch's wife captured the terrifying video and called 911. Asked the 911 operator, and when you say he came after your husband with his tractor, did he chase him down? Lynch's wife replied, yeah, he chased him down on his tractor, and my husband had to run, yes. Lynn's wife also told the police that Hal was after her husband because of a property dispute. Okay, said the operator. So he's vandalizing your property? Yeah, it's our property. It's like an easement. He thinks he has the right to it, but he's destroying stuff on it and blocking our driveway, said Lynch's wife. Hal continued chasing Lynch, yelling at him. Fortunately, Lynch got away safely. Morris, a 72-year-old veteran, was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and he is
I can accept that as a deadly weapon.
He is prohibited from having any further contact with his neighbors.
Well, that one's actually one of the more straightforward ones.
Yeah, it's a more believable deadly weapon than a fork.
Yeah. Number 8, Florida man's mugshot quickly goes viral. And I'm just going to...
He doesn't have a neck.
Well,
oh, he has a neck. It's a just Cardassian enormous. Neck.
He looks like a Cardassian.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Without the ridges.
He looks like he needs to pee in a cup.
Yeah.
He had a lot of space for that neck tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Damn, this is... That looks like a dude who has to turn his entire torso when he wants to look somewhere.
Yeah. Aww. Ooh, the next one's creepy.
Number 9. Florida man gouges out intruder's eyes during burglary attempt.
That one went nuts. Some guy broke into his house. The guy's ex-military. he got the gun away, and he heard one round go off, but it didn't hit him. And he said his military training kicked in, and he stuck his fingers in the eyes until he could feel the brains.
That's what you do.
Mm-hmm. And then he sat on him until the police came.
Yeah. Unfortunately, one of his dogs is now missing.
Yeah.
As it ran out during the commotion. Hopefully, this was like back in, I think, July, so hopefully they found him.
Yeah.
All right. Number 10. Florida man arrested for giving girlfriend wet willy.
Okay, this one's going to take some explanation.
What? You don't know what a wet willy is?
Oh, I think he knows what a wet willy is. He's just trying to find out why the hell he was arrested for it.
Yeah, he looks like he's confused about it.
Like, what am I doing here? All right. Authorities say a Florida man has been arrested for getting belligerent and giving his girlfriend a wet willy. A sheriff's deputy went to the home after his girlfriend told authorities he was drunk on the living room floor. She returned home from work earlier this month for an affidavit. He accompanied her and her daughter to another home where he continued to be belligerent. And on the way home, grabbed her hand, pulled her arm, and gave her a wet willy by sticking his wet finger in her ear.
So the reason he got arrested is because she was sick of his shit.
Yeah, basically he's an abusive spouse.
Hmm.
It's just that was ended up being the final straw.
Yeah.
Like, he really looks like he's still trying to unpack what happened.
I can hear the internal monologue, like, all the things I did, this is what I got arrested for. Like,
you're probably wondering how I ended up here. So am I.
11. Florida man loses his shorts while breaking into a car dealership. Say November 18th. This was last year. I think this was last year. Yeah, this was last year. November 18th, the man broke into a Hyundai dealership using a fire extinguisher. However, getting through the hole that he made in the door proved a bit little difficult. The burglar lost his shorts for a moment before finally making it through the hole. Police said the man took off with a generator.
Yep.
Okay, there's got to be more to this story.
Well, that's all that it says.
Yeah, I mean, the actual story.
Yeah.
See, I don't remember
a generator that bad.
I don't remember. Were there any hurricanes then? Or tropical storms heading toward Florida right around that time?
November? No, probably that's past season.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Number 12. Florida man who drove Ferrari into water said Jesus told him to.
We actually talked about this story.
Yeah, we did. This isn't what Carrie Underwood was singing about. revisiting this one, the man who drove his Ferrari into the intracoastal in Palm Beach in late December told police he did it because Jesus told me to. Let's see, this is on December 2016. He was approached by a police officer as he was removing items from his Ferrari, which was parked on a public dock, and told the officer that his friend told him to park the dock so he could pick him up by boat. When told he could not park on the dock, He apologized and went to retrieve his driver's license from the Italian sports car. And I guess, let's see, there's like a thing where we got to click and go. He then proceeded to reverse off the dock, then put the car in drive and accelerated at high speed into the Palm Beach Inlet. He was able to get out of the car before it sunk and was pulled from the water by two fishermen in a nearby boat. When the officer asked Austin why he drove into the inlet, he stated, "Jesus told me to drive through a small gate into a 6-foot window. Jesus made me the smartest man on earth, and it's so hard to have this much responsibility. Money is going to be irrelevant in 2 days. Remember to smile."
Wow. I'll have what he's having.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll take a half.
That's some good shit.
Yeah.
He also stated that the reason he drove into the inlet is because the officer on the dock was Egyptian and he did not believe in Jesus. Investigation revealed the license plate that was attached to the Ferrari belonged to his Ford Mustang.
Somebody couldn't afford his car payment, yeah?
And finally, number 13. Florida man who can't swim jumps in lake while fleeing cops.
Yep.
Well, this is one of those play stupid games when you stupid prize stories.
The 18-year-old jumped into a lake Friday while running from the cops. Thing is, he can't swim. He admitted that to deputies after they brought him to safety. He told the cops he went into the lake to avoid being arrested on several warrants. The safety of our citizens is a priority, regardless of circumstance, sheriff said. These deputies acted quickly and selflessly to render aid to someone who has a complete disregard for law enforcement. Just after 11 a.m. on January 18th, deputies responded to suspicious activity close to the intersection of Burnt Branch Circle and Greystone Lane in Sarasota. When the cops arrived at the scene, they noticed him getting into a van parked along the side of the road. After the cops tried to talk, he ran for it and decided to try his luck at swimming. Unfortunately, incidents like this happen all too often, but this is what we train for. Gray is charged with obstruction without violence and contempt of court for his outstanding warrants. He is currently in the Sarasota County Jail.
Whew. Yeah.
I mean, he's safe there at least.
Yeah, but how did you think this was going to go?
You know, I maybe thought that he was going to magically pick up swimming.
Think or swim, they say.
Yeah.
He's, you know, probably mind over matter. Movies figure. Okay. Shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah.
People do it.
Yeah.
Hey, gotta learn how to swim sometime.
Yeah. God, Florida, you are amazing.
I would say never change, but we all know about half of your state's probably going to be underwater in the next 50 years. So
basically, yeah. The other half will probably be still weird.
All will happen is that the southern part will just immigrate up to the northern part.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, it would essentially mean the death of Florida as we know it.
Yeah. Well, just a congregation of a lot of different.
What's going to happen to Walt Disney World?
Yeah,
Water World.
It's in Orlando. Water World. Then again, knowing the Disney Company, they'll probably just carve it out and like load it off to an island somewhere.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I do believe we had a show, folks.
Oh yeah, concise and just a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I would like to remind all of our listeners: if you have a question or comment or something you want us to read on the air, just something you want us to say, just getting in touch with us in general. You can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it listed for you in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can also hear our little podcast, our little piece of unscripted shenanigans at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, archive.org, RSS, basically any place where podcasts like ours can be downloaded and shared and enjoyed with your ear holes. So, with that, I have been your host for the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo DiNapo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, good night, sleep tight, thank God this government shutdown's almost over.